Well, joining us now, he's down at the Masters, down at Augusta, Georgia. We should have played the music again, Jake. Just, you know, I love that music. Anyway, Ron Cyrak joins us. Ron, what's going on this morning?
Well, we're waiting for the rain to come in. It's overcast right now. It's supposed to start raining probably about an hour or so and continue pretty much throughout the day. The technology they have in this golf course with the sub-air systems under all the greens and under some of the fairways, as long as there's no electricity in the air, I have a feeling we'll just be able to still grind out this round.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier in the show about the players who, you know, these conditions best suit. I mean, you know, if it's muddy, if you need to have a guy who doesn't take big divots, if he's a sweeper or whatever, you know, like you say, the technology is so good, but you're still not going to be able to play Augusta the way you would if it were truly dry and sunny and fast. So who do you see? You know, you look at, if you went to the dog track or the horse track, you'd be looking for a mutter. Who are your mutters?
Well, you know, I sort of like the power guys who are on the leaderboard, because if the conditions get bad, I think that they're going to be able to power the ball through the rain and through the wind. So you look at Henrik Stenson, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas. You know, those four pretty strong hitters in there who certainly have the game to deal with any bad conditions. You know, that said, Patrick Reed's playing some remarkable golf through 36 holes. He's got 22 one-putt greens through 36 holes. He's birdied all 8 par fives. That serves you well. That's tough to beat, but it's also going to be a tough standard for him to maintain for 36 more holes.
Ron,
what does Patrick Reed need to do? I mean, it sounds funny. The guy can play. He's a Ryder Cup hero, Captain America, we call him, although I'm not sure exactly why, except for that, you know, one weekend. You know, even when we're introducing highlights about him, we tend to say petulant, divisive, you know, bratty, whatever. You see, even, you know, ESPN, Golf Channel, he seems to have this reputation. And then, you know, what can he do to be somebody that we just love and we want to follow?
You know, I don't know if he's ever going to be a warm and fuzzy, lovable sort of guy. He's a player of great emotion. And you know, when you're a player of great emotion, you live and die by the emotion. You ride those emotional highs, and then you plunge into emotional lows. You know, he's been sort of a prickly personality going back to his college days. He transferred out of the University of Georgia because he didn't get along real well with people there, came to Augusta State University and led them to 2 NCAA national championships. Sometimes it's only success that makes somebody a little bit more likable. Think of Sergio Garcia. I think even he was surprised last year here that the galleries were behind him on Sunday, because Sergio was a bit of a punk for a lot of his career, and people didn't really like him. But he got to be 37 years old, and people said, you know, this guy deserves a major championship. He's really one of the best ball strikers of his generation. So I have a feeling Patrick's just going to have to wear people down with success.
You know, Ron, one of the things that's always interested me is, you know, as much as we see, you know, birdies and eagles, especially on the back nine at Augusta, and, you know, and all the reachable par fives and all this stuff, and we've never had a champion wearing the green jacket at the end of 4 rounds that has shot 4 rounds in the 60s. So that leads you to believe that, you know, so far we've really only got Patrick Reed shooting 69, 66. So does that automatically mean that at some point he's going to shoot around around par? I mean, that's what we're looking for, right?
Yeah, you know, and I think actually, if he goes out and he shoots a 72 today, I think that he'd probably be pretty happy with that, and I think it would put him into a good position going into the final round. Look, the genius of this golf course is that it is accessible. You can score here. You can shoot 30 on the back nine with those 2 par fives that are reachable. But the genius of this golf course is also that you don't have to be off by very much to get punished by it. Jordan Spieth shot 66 on Thursday, shot 74 yesterday, and he said, you know, I missed a lot of shots by like two yards. And The way in which Augusta National is seductive is it's got wide fairways, it's got big greens, but you really need to only use about a third of the fairway and about a quarter of the green. You got to put your ball in the right places, and you can't let the bigness of the golf course seduce you. You still have to find the proper path to follow and stay on that path all the way around the golf course. If you get a little bit off, this golf course slaps you around.
Well, I can't have Ron Cyrak. I mean, we're talking about the PGA winner for a lifetime achievement in journalism. Can't have you on without talking storytelling. As you're putting stories together, you're thinking about tomorrow. What kind of groups do you want to see in those last, you know, two or three groups coming down on Sunday? Guys in contention. You know, the low hanging fruit is gone. Tiger's gone. Sergio's gone. Phil's gone. Where are the stories that need to be told in tomorrow to make this thing live up to sort of the hype that we created for it as being one of the better Masters with better players, small field, everybody's playing well? What are the stories you're looking at that you'd like most to tell?
Yeah, you know, coming in, I thought the best final group on Sunday would have been a Woods-Mickelson pairing. You know, it's what we were denied in the Tiger era. We never had a Woods-Mickelson shootout in the final round of a major championship, and I thought it'd be pretty cool if it happened when they were 47 and 42 years old, but that ain't going to happen. That said, we have a great leaderboard. You know, Patrick Reed is a story for all the reasons we were talking about. Stenson's a guy who 10 years ago, I was picking him every year to win here. This golf course fits his game perfectly. He hits the ball long. He hits it high. That's what wins here. I mean, think about Jack Nicklaus. Rory McIlroy would complete the career Grand Slam if he takes home a green jacket. You know, Jordan Spieth would get his fifth major championship. You got Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas, who are really, right now, two of the best players in the world, probably for the last 2 years, the two guys playing the best golf of anybody out there. And then there's Ricky Fowler. You know, boy, you talk about somebody who does everything right to be a fan favorite, except he needs to win more often, particularly in a major. And is he finally willing to win a major championship? So I think between Fowler, Thomas, Johnson, Spieth, McIlroy, Stenson, Reed, there's a lot of really good stories there. And, oh, by the way, how about Tony Finau, who dislocates his ankle in the par 3 very painfully, if you watched it, pops it back into place. And here he is shooting rounds of 68, 74, and he's tied for 8th going into the weekend.
Yeah, and Ron, one other story that and he just continues to amaze me is Freddie Couples. Probably had no business actually teeing it up this week. I mean, he hurt himself in the one Champions Tour start that he had this year, and he would hit a tee shot yesterday right down the middle of the fairway, and he about dropped the club. He looked so uncomfortable, but you know, that to me just proves how much of a draw Augusta and the Masters is to some of these guys that have won it before, and the fact that just doing everything possible to tee it up.
Yeah, you know, when I see some of the over 50 guys like Freddie Couples and Bernhard Langer playing well here, what amazes me about that is when I first started coming here, and this is my 29th Masters, and when I first started coming here, this was really a course where you could compete, you could be in contention based on local knowledge and experience and patience, and that's become harder to do because this course is probably about 800 yards longer now than it was when I first started to come here. It makes it harder for those old guys to hang in there, and that makes it even more remarkable when you see a guy like Couples go out and have the kind of success here that he's had.
All right, well, we've talked Ricky, and we've talked Freddie, so we're on either ends of the spectrum in terms of fan appeal. In the fat part of that bell curve is Matt Kuchar. I mean, he's as popular as anybody to sort of the 40 to 60, you know, fans. Does he have the tools to make a real press this weekend? Does he have a strong enough grip? And I don't remember him being traditionally a mutter, but that doesn't mean he can't get it done.
He is probably the best player out there right now without a major championship. Again, 20 years ago here, 1998, he was the low amateur, and he sort of smiled his way onto everybody's radar screen. I remember that week very well. His dad was his caddy, and he was low amateur that year in 98, both at the Masters and at the U.S. Open. And everybody thought he should have turned pro right on the spot and cashed in, and he didn't. He stayed in college. He's got the mindset to win majors, you know, because he does smile his way around the golf course. He stays relaxed. He stays patient, and he's in contention all the time. It seems like, you know, it seems like at the beginning of the week you could write down T6 next to his name, you know, and that's where he's going to end up. And, you know, he's sort of becoming the Lee Westwood or the Colin Montgomery of his generation there. And, you know, he's one of those guys that you feel like deserves to have a major, but he may end up being one of those guys like Westwood or Monty who never gets one.
Ron, when we start talking about going into this weekend, I mean, obviously Patrick Reed at 9-under, Leishman at 7, and then down to Stenson at 5, McIlroy, Spieth at 4. Realistically, you know, we always talk about, it seems like that in major championships and kind of almost in any golf tournament, whether it's PGA Tour, European Tour, even LPGA Tour, people that are further down the leaderboard kind of want weather conditions. They want wind. They want bad weather, because with bad weather, they can go out and if they can have that magical round and shoot that score that's, you know, 5 or 6 shots less than the field average, they can make a huge jump and get themselves back into contention. Realistically, when you're looking at that leaderboard, what's a number that you go, man, I just don't think anybody outside of this position is going to have a run at this weekend?
Well, you know, right now you're in a position here where you've got Reed too clear of everybody, and then Leishman next, and he's too clear of the next person to him. So you really only need, if those top two people falter, and brings a lot of people back into the golf tournament, then you got to go. Then you could probably go back to the people who are at 1 or 2 over par, and say they had a chance because they are with 36 holes to play, only 6 shots off the lead. I always feel when a guy creates a little bit of separation at the top, if I'm back in the pack, I'm looking at what's my reachable person to get to. If I was teeing it up today, I'd look at Stenson at 5-under pars. I considered him the leader and say, I need to catch him and just focus on that and then hope that those top two guys come back. If Patrick Reed puts another round in the 60s up today, he's gonna open up a significant gap over everybody else. But he could, if he shoots 72, 73, 74, he could let a lot of people back into the golf tournament.
Well, Ron, in the decades you've been out there, you've seen it all. You've seen these conditions before. I don't know when it would have been similar to this. You know, what can you forecast that number is going to stick sort of around the 9-10 range, and we may see some people press, or do you think it could go, you know, higher or lower based on your experience?
Well, the rule of thumb usually is that whatever the lead is after 36 holes, have that for the rest of the way. So if the lead is 9-under par, then you're going to get the 4. And so your over-under would be 13.5 under par. I don't think we're going to get that low if the weather is today the way that they say it's going to be. And you know, weather is another thing that messes with your head. And when you're playing Augusta National, you don't need anything else to mess with your head. There's nothing messes with your head like this golf course. 72 holes of stroke play on this course wears you out, because if you fall asleep for 90 seconds out there, it's going to ruin your day, ruin your golf tournament. It's a grind, and now they're going to have added to that grind that thing of, you know, this is the kind of golf course where you'd rather have a 40-foot uphill putt than a 10-foot downhill putt. So you got to be really concentrating on every shot about where you're going to leave the ball. Now you have thrown into that mix worrying about the weather and worrying about keeping your grips dry and worrying about how the weather is going to affect the break on the putt. And you've got all these other things to think about. Today is going to be a real slog out there in every sense of the word, and we're going to see who the mentally tough players are today.
Well, Ron, as always, man, we appreciate talking to you. Have a great weekend down there at Augusta, and we'll be watching and see what happens.
Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.